You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Hey, why don't you go ahead and have a seat? And let me just say again, good to see y'all here this morning. Welcome to Bell Road Church. My name's Tyrone, and I'm the lead pastor here. And if you're here for the first time, man, super honored that you join us. Hope that you have a great time. We'd love to have you a part of our church and a part of what God is doing here. Well, we are in the middle of a summer series that we call God on Film. And the God on Film series is fun because we get to look at a lot of the popular movies that are in the theater this summer, and we get to address different topics that we might not normally address otherwise. And so, like last week, we talked about dinosaurs and evolution because Jurassic World came out this summer. And so we get to talk about things like that. And that's kind of fun because that's a cool topic. But also, I think it's a very important topic. I think we need to be learned and knowledgeable in regards to evolution, dinosaurs, what's going on in the faith and science world right now. And so if you missed last week, go online, check it out. I think you will really enjoy it and you'll get a lot out of it. Well, today we're going to address another fun yet different type of a topic. We're going to talk about singleness. And we're going to use the movie Solo, A Star Wars Story. Anybody seen this movie, Solo, A Star Wars Story? Oh man, you guys are all missing out. This is a great movie. Any Star Wars movie is a great movie, by the way. They're like the best. But this one's good, highly recommend it, very entertaining. And so we get to learn a little bit about a young Han Solo, his backstory, how he made the Kessel Run in 12, 14 parsecs, whatever ended up being. And we get to see him as a young man, and he actually had this lady he was very interested in. So the story really centers around this relationship that he has with this lady, and they're trying to escape their planet and their life, and he makes it through a checkpoint and she doesn't. And so he vows that he's going to come back, he's going to save her, and they're going to be together and they're going to live together and live happily ever after for the rest of their life. That's his goal, that's his mindset. The whole story centers around that. He's trying to get back to her, and without too much spoilers, just know that it doesn't really work out, unfortunately. And so Han Solo ends up living up to his name. He lives a life of, he's solo, okay? He's single, really, for this, at least this part of the story of his life, we see. And so he wanted to be in a relationship, but it just wasn't working out. And so we're gonna talk about singleness. What do you do when you find yourself in that season? You find yourself in a season of singleness, how should you live? How should you handle that? And why is it that a lot of people struggle with the season of singleness? It seems to be so hard. It feels like it's hard for a lot of people. And then on top of that, how should we as a church address this? How should we handle this overall as a church? So before I dive into some scripture, let me just say this is the main idea that I want all of us to catch here this morning. I hope that whether you're married or not, that you would catch this. And this would not be just something you get into your head, but you get into your heart. And that is this, is that only God can give us the love we're looking for. Amen. It's important that you know that. And not that you know that, but that you experience that. That only God can give you the love you're looking for. We're all looking for love. But only God can really fully give us that love. Okay, so let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about singleness. What does the Bible think about this? So Genesis 2 tells us, Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Okay, Proverbs 18 says this, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. All right, Bible has a pretty clear and good stance on marriage. It's a good thing. God created this, but it also talks about singleness. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7. He says, now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. And he goes on to say this, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. He goes on to say, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but so that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. So Paul says, hey, if you're single, stay that way. It's a good thing. Okay, so which one is it? Which one should you do? Which one should you pursue? How should we live our life? Okay, we're going to talk about this here this morning. And I think this is going to be beneficial, not just for the single people, but also for the married people. So married people, don't check out. Because we got some words for you as well on this. But I chose this topic because, number one, we've got a lot of single people in our church. And it's not just young people, it's all generations of single people. So we've got lots of single people, but also chose this because a lot of single people struggle with this season in life. They just want nothing more than for this season of their life to end. And that's why there's so many dating websites and dating apps out there. I read this stat this week that millennials ages 18 to 30 are spending on average 10 hours a week on dating apps. It's a lot of time on a dating app, but they're very serious about getting on Tinder and finding that special someone. And some of us would say, just go out and meet the person. You know, that's what you got to do. Don't stay at home getting on the app. And all. No, but you got to understand, there's nobody out there because all the other people are also on the app at home. So they got to get on the app if they're going to hook up. I also chose this topic because I thought that the church as a whole sometimes doesn't handle this very well. Generally speaking, sometimes we do, but there's been many a times where I feel like the church doesn't look at single people the way they should, and sometimes they look down on them. They think that they are lesser of people. And so I feel like we need to have a healthy perspective of people who are single and are part of our church community. Now, let's be real. A lot of people don't like the thought of being alone, right? Which is why sometimes, many times, we struggle with this season of singleness. Or we feel for other people that are in that season. We just, man, we got to help you find somebody. I know it's tough, you know, but, you know, have you met so-and-so? And we try to hook people up because we feel bad for them. And we can even go to the extreme. Some people, if we were honest, look down on these people that are single and they think lesser of them because they are not married. But we don't want a church like that. We want this to be a church where it's safe to be single and married. It's a church for everybody, okay? So I want you to feel that totally and completely. If you're single here, I want you to know that you are gifted, you are called by God, and you have a place that you can serve in this church. And we want you to be a part of this. And if you never get married, that's great as well. And we'll talk about why that's important. But hey, if you are in a season of singleness and you are ready to mingle, we want this to be a place for you as well. This is a good place. If you're looking for that significant other, no better place than church, right? That's where I found my wife, and it was a good thing. Now, the tough thing about this is there are some people that are single in our church that they're single, and it's a unique perspective or unique situation that brought them there. Maybe it was a death or maybe it was a divorce. And especially for those people, we want this to be a safe place. Because those are complex issues, and maybe you're in a season of singleness and you didn't want it, but here you are. Man, I pray that this would be a church that loves you and allows you to grow and be you. Yeah. Right? So that's kind of my heart behind this. Add to that, I didn't get married till I was 28, so I spent most of my 20s as a young adult in the church, single. I was actually in pastoral ministry for 5 years before Amy and I ever got married. And so I've been around the block. I've seen the stories, man. I've had those conversations. Hey, have you met my granddaughter yet? You know, I've had those conversations. I've been set up on the blind dates, awkward. Okay, I got stories I could share. In fact, I will share with you one. I mean, this is a crazy story, but I'll never forget. I was a youth pastor, and I was the assistant director at a summer camp. We're in a leadership meeting, and the director in this leadership meeting, as we're planning out the day and talking about what we're going to do at camp that day, for some reason thinks it'd be a great idea if Tyrone takes this other leader out on a date. For the life of me, I can't even remember what her name was. But he's talking about this. The entire leadership team gets really excited about this. Yeah, Tyrone, you take her on a date. It'll be great. You guys be awesome, you know. And she happened to be from Washington. I was in California, also from Washington. And so they got so excited about this, they actually took up an offering in that leadership meeting. They handed me the cash. Another pastor gave me the keys to his Jeep and said, I want you to drive my Jeep and take the girl on a date in town. During summer camp. It gets worse. So we are. I got the cash. I'm going to drive into town. I'm driving on the road out of camp towards town. And wouldn't you know, they line up the entire camp, students and leaders, on both sides of the road for 200 yards. And they're screaming and yelling, yeah, Tyrone, woo! Oh. And I'm like, oh, this is horrible. This is so embarrassing. Okay, so if you've experienced things like that as a single person, I feel for you, all right? I've been there. I got stories I could share, all right? So I think it's okay for us to maybe help people find and meet people, but we want to go overboard, all right? So let's not be the overboard church. Let's not be the weird church, all right? So if you are here and you're single and you desire to be married, I got some words of encouragement for you here. So hopefully you take some notes, use your program. Got some good stuff I'm going to give you that I think will benefit you and help you. Again, even if you're married, there's some good stuff. So hopefully you're taking some notes because I think this is going to help. But remember this, before we go any further, here's the big idea. Only God can give us the love we're looking for. It's important we understand this, okay? Word of encouragement, number one, it's okay to have a desire to be married. I feel like it's good to start there, right? This is a God-given desire that he's placed inside of you. You do not have to be ashamed of this desire. So I just want to start by acknowledging that it is a good thing for you to have this desire. In fact, God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created this whole marriage relationship thing. So don't feel guilty about that. It is a good desire. I love what Psalm 37:4 says. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that. So to desire to be married is a good thing, but here's my word of caution. Don't make it your main thing. Amen. It can't be your main thing. It's a good thing, but don't make it your main thing. So number two, point number two, word of encouragement number two is make God the priority of your life. He needs to be your main thing. Okay, so that Psalm 37 doesn't say like if you pray and read the word, then he will give you what you want. It's important we don't read it that way. If you go to church and you're faithful, you tithe and you serve and you do all the whatever, you know. It's not about if you do this, then God will give you what you want. It's delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so sometimes we can fast track to the, all right, sweet God, give me the desires. I'm ready right now. But our focus needs to be to delight in the Lord. That needs to be the focus. As you and I do that, that's how we experience him filling us and giving us the desires that are inside of us. What's it mean to delight? It means to find pleasure in and to experience great joy in. Does that describe your relationship with God? Do you find great joy in your relationship with him? Are you experiencing pleasure in your relationship with God? I hope so. That's the goal. God wants you to experience that. That's what it means to delight in him. It's making him a priority and just enjoying that relationship. Okay, this is a word for all of us, right? Married or not, that's a word for all of us. Delight in the Lord. Make him the priority of your life. Because here's the deal, guys. To be married, it's not the end goal in life. That's right. But we understand that. It's not then when you finally get married, now you are somebody. You have achieved the pinnacle of life. Now your life has meaning and purpose because you are finally married. You have arrived. Okay, that's not the end goal of life. Unfortunately, we kind of falsely believe that. We've tricked ourselves to believe that. All the good stories, that we read or we see in movies, it's all about, you know, the people hooking up, getting together, and it ends and culminates with they get married and they live happily ever after. And you're like, that's what I want. Awesome. I want to fall in love with somebody. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to live happily ever after. And then you get married and you realize, this happily ever after feels different than I thought it would, right? Okay, so to get married, this is not the end goal. It's not about if you find the one, then you will be fully and completely happy in your life, all right? Because to be married is not the goal. Here's the deal. The one that you're looking for is not your spouse or your mate. The one that you're looking for really is ultimately God. So no matter what season of life you're in, you need to make sure you make God your one. If you're married, your spouse is your two, God is your one. Amen. It's important we don't confuse the two. God always needs to be our number one. We can't make a God out of our spouse or out of any dating relationship, but unfortunately, this is the culture we live in today, guys. Even in the church world, dating has become a God. Marriage has become a God. It's a false idol, and God needs to be God in our life. Amen? Because remember, only God can give us the love that we're looking for. So if you're married here and you're maybe feeling a little unfulfilled in your marriage, then perhaps it's because you're looking for your spouse to fulfill you and not God to fulfill you. So again, don't confuse the order. You can allow your desires to rule you and all like my needs and all that to rule you, or you can allow God to rule you. Delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said this, you know, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So Jesus says, seek me first, seek my kingdom, seek God first. Then all these things will be given to you, and all these things He was talking about is all the things we worry about, we stress about. I'll take care of you, it'll be given to you, but seek me first. So it's important that we make God the priority of our life. Number three, let me encourage you with this. Right now, in this season of your life, excel in your mission and your responsibilities. Your mission and your responsibilities are so important. In fact, those are maybe even more important than getting married, because you're gonna do those for the rest of your life, single or not. What this is saying is make the most of the season that you're in right now. Bloom where you're planted. Don't put your life on hold, on pause. Like, someday when I get married, then I can really start pursuing my dreams, or you know, I can really start using the gifts God has given me. No, right now, excel in your mission and your responsibilities. Think about Adam. Adam was given his mission by God before he ever got a mate. That mission took precedence over even having a mate. He was working the garden. He was doing what God had called him to do. Then God brought his mate in there. See, again, we make marriage the end all, but marriage is not the end all. And the truth is, marriage is not forever, but the church is. And we can't forget that. Yeah. Marriage isn't forever, but the church is. That means the mission that God has given us as his people, as the church, is so important, guys. So when you hear us talk about our articulation of the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, we're all called to make disciples, right? And so we say here at Bell Road Church, we want to love people, we want to live like Jesus, and then we want to lead others to him. That's a mission that God has given all of us, and that is so important. He's given you gifts to serve, to help his kingdom grow. All that is so important. And right now in the season of life, you've got responsibilities. Don't neglect those. Continue to lean into those and excel in those things. All right, so that's number three. Don't put your life on hold. Bloom where you're planted right now. Number four, this is a tough one, but this is important. Learn true contentment and trust. And this would apply to all of us, married or single. Learn true contentment and trust. Paul speaks to this in Philippians 4. Talks about this, and this is what Paul says. Listen to his words. This is good. We can identify with this, hopefully. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So Paul is saying this is something he's learned, meaning it didn't come naturally for him. I had to learn this. See, to be content always, it doesn't come naturally to us, right? It's easy for us to be discontent, to feel that. So I've learned whatever the circumstances to be content. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, he says again, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. See, there's a secret. You got to learn to lean on Jesus. Allow him to strengthen you and teach you. Learn his ways of being content no matter what season you're in, no matter what you are going through in life. Learn true contentment. And learn to trust is the other aspect of this right here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of your heart. Not some, right? Not when you feel like it. Not just even most, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart, which really speaks to your whole life. With your whole life, trust in the Lord. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will guide you, he will lead you, he will take care of you, but it starts with you and I fully and completely trusting in him. Two great scriptures, but here's the deal. No amount of teaching or preaching can get us to learn these things. You and I can only learn these through our relationship with God. Only He can work this into your life. I wish I could preach really hard and you would learn full contentment for the rest of your life. I wish I could do that for you. I wish we could all plug into the Matrix right now and just, you know, download contentment and never struggle again for the rest of our life. But that's not the case. That's not real life, right? This is something you have to learn alone, on your own, from God. This has to be fresh revelation, firsthand revelation from Him, not secondhand revelation from some guy who's talking about it. It's got to be firsthand revelation. I pray that you learn true contentment and learn to trust God. Because life's going to be tough. There's going to be challenges, trials. You're going to go through lots of different things in life. So it's important that you and I learn, no matter what, that we're in that place. God, I trust you. God, I'm content. You know, we just keep growing no matter what we're going through. The goal is that we grow, right? So if you're single, remember this. Single you will be the married you. So how does that make you feel? How does it make the other person feel? Single you will be the married you. And it's sad that there's a lot of people that live in this place of discontentment because God doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want you to feel discontent with life. Too many people think that marriage is the thing, it's their answer. Then I'll get all my fulfillment from marriage, then I'll be content, but it's a lie. Only God can do that. I think this is why people struggle with singleness. Because they got this false belief like, oh, when this happens, then I'll feel content. No, no, no. False belief. If you can't enjoy singleness, you will not enjoy marriage. If you are not content right now, you won't be content then. If you can't trust God right now, you won't trust God then. Because single you will be the married you. So I've got to keep growing. Keep allowing God to work in your life. And I think it's important that you have a good perspective of what this season of singleness is. And it's a gift. We don't like to think of it as a gift, but it is. It's a gift from God. I would encourage you to make the most of it. Keep growing. Here's the deal, guys. You're only going to be single once in your life, for most of you. Yeah. That isn't always the case, unfortunately, but for most people, once in your life. And we get so caught up and wrapped up in like, I got to get married, I got to find this special somebody. And you're going to spend the rest of your life married, man, and you're just going to have a few years. It'll be short in comparison to how many years most of us are married. Well, make the most of this season of singleness. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life right now. Wouldn't that be a bummer if you missed out on what God wanted to do in your life right now? That'd be a bummer. Yeah. I was talking to a friend once a few years ago, and I said, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? You know, any interest there? And he looked at me and says, Tyrone, let me be real. She's going on a long trip. So if you track the illustration there, what he's saying is this. Tyrone, she's got lots of baggage. Now, here's the deal. All of us carry baggage in every relationship, right? The goal is to allow God to work in us and to help minimize the baggage. We're letting go of baggage. He's setting us free of this and setting us free of this and hurts and past insecurities, all that kind of stuff, learning to trust. All of that. We want to allow God to set us free from all that stuff because we can carry that into a relationship because single you will be the married you, right? So minimize the baggage. Make sure that you're going on a short trip, not a long trip. That's the point of that, right? All right. And then just don't allow yourself to get desperate. Because that's scary, and desperation attracts the wrong people, right? So learning to be content and to trust God, so important. Remember, only God can give us the love we're looking for, guys. So let's look at number 5. I want to talk about loneliness, because I think this is a very important topic, really for all of us. Amen. Loneliness is God calling you closer to Him. That's really what it is. That's what I learned in my life. I just want to say it's okay to have feelings of loneliness. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Lean into those as opportunities for you to press in closer to God. I learned that was amazing moments for me to just get alone and just seek God. And I would journal, God, I'm single still, and I feel like I'm ready. Bring her to me, God. You know, where is she? Open my eyes, open her eyes, whatever, God. You know, that was the things I would journal. And those were when I'm feeling lonely, that's what I did, okay? And it happened quite a few times in my single years. I even wrote songs about it, okay? And so Amy can attest to all of this. She's read these things. She felt bad for me when she's reading this. Like, man, I feel bad for you. I'm like, no, Honestly, I actually had a great season of singleness. There was just times I felt really lonely, and so I was just being real and honest, and it helped me, because what I learned is that in those times I reached out to God, and he began to do a deep work in my heart, and my season of singleness lasted way longer than I ever anticipated. I thought, I'll get married by 24, for sure 25, but then it kept going and going and going, and you know, I was like, oh man, this is a little bit longer than I thought it would be, but here's the deal. I wouldn't trade any relationship for anybody because of how close I grew to God in all those years. My relationship with God got so close, no relationship would be worth trading in for what he did in my life. Make the most of the season that God has given you. You will never have this again. This is a great season of your life. Those of you who are married, sometimes you think back to, man, there were some things I miss about being single, right? It's being, you know, it's being real. I kind of went on that a little bit in the first service, but like I can remember when I would think, I want to play basketball tonight. And I would, because I could, because I felt like it, right? Now it's like, I got to check my kids' schedule. What's going on with the kids tonight? What's going on with them? I got to take them somewhere. What's Amy's schedule? What's she got to do? What do I got to, you know, what time's dinner at the family? Can I get away for an hour and go play basketball? It's so complicated and so much harder. I played so much more basketball when I was single. I was in such better shape when I was single. Let's be real. Okay, so all that complications come into being married. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't trade it. Loved my season of singleness. Loved my season right now. I just want to make the most of whatever season I'm in, and I love every season. But here's what happened is I actually learned, I honestly can say this, guys, I'm not perfect. It was not easy, but I really did learn how to be content in that season, and I loved my season of singleness. I was already happy when we got married, and then it just added to my happiness. I already felt fulfilled, honestly. I can say that honestly. And it just was another blessing to my life because I learned how to really make God my one and to make the most of this season. I learned to really lean into loneliness. That's what we're talking about right now, to loneliness. Came across this really cool quote by a lady named Elizabeth Elliot. You may recognize her as the wife of Jim Elliot, who was martyred as a missionary in Ecuador trying to reach the Alca Indians. And so this is his wife who was widowed. Her name is Elizabeth. And she said this. She says, having now spent more than 41 years single, I have learned that it is indeed a gift. Not one that I would choose, not one many women would choose, but we do not choose our gifts, remember? We are given them by a divine giver who knows the end from the beginning and wants above all else to give us the gift of himself. There's no greater gift that you and I could get in life. No relationship will fulfill your needs like the relationship with God. Ultimately, what he wants to give you is him. And he is all that you need. Great words from a very wise woman who spent a lot of years working through this, learning to be content in her relationship with God. God's all we need, guys. I love Psalm 16. It talks about in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And it's so true. And you really want to be full of joy in life? Get in the presence of God. Let his presence fill you. Spend time with God. Seek him. Be with God. That's where fullness of joy in life is found. It doesn't say, hey, when you finally get married, you'll experience fullness of joy. It doesn't say that, does it? No, where's fullness of joy? In the presence of God. Psalm 107 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. His unfailing love. It says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Are you hungry for him? What are you desiring in your life? More of him? I hope so. Talks about his unfailing love there, and I want to give you the last point here this morning, point number 6 in light of that, and that is find your love from God. That's where you and I need to find our love. This goes along with really our big idea, right? But here's the deal. Any love that anyone else gives us in this life will pale in comparison to the love that God gives us. It falls way short of the love that God has for us. It's interesting how we're all looking for love in all the wrong places, and we think this is gonna make me feel better. Truth is, we all desire to be loved. And so we look for that, and we think this is the answer, but God and God alone is the one that fills us with that love. don't try to find that love in the wrong place. You will always end up feeling like you're missing out, and you will always feel like you need more. So, question if you're single that you want to ask yourself is this. Wrestle through this. Am I desiring to date out of need or out of completeness? There's a big difference. I need this. I just need this. And they're going to fulfill my needs. Or is it I'm out of completeness? Here's the goal for all of us, is that we would find our identity completely in Christ. Fully and completely in Him. Nothing else. Not our job. Not money. Not any relationship. My identity isn't centered in all this. Not if I'm married or single. That's not my identity. My identity is found only in Christ. That's the goal. You want to get to that place. My identity is in you, Jesus. See, we can fall into that trap of just falsely believing that, man, when I get into that relationship, it's going to fulfill all these needs that I have for love and companionship and intimacy and identity and all that. No. We're setting ourselves up for failure if we believe that. And I think that's a fundamental reason why we have a lot of divorce today. Because we think marriage is going to fulfill my needs. It's all about what I can get out of it. Basically, that's what we say marriage is. And that's called need love. There's a difference between need love and real love. So what's need love? Need love is, I love this person with the expectation that they are going to meet my needs. And when my needs are no longer being met, I don't love anymore. That's need love. That's a shallow form of love, and it's a selfish form of love. It's all about what I get from you is why I love you. And if you stop giving to me, I don't love you anymore. But real love, let's talk about real love. Real love is, I love this person, I want to serve them unconditionally. That's real love. The truth is, we can only experience real love from God. Only He is the one that can complete us, can meet all our needs, and we can experience this real love that we're talking about. Romans 5:8 talks about how God demonstrated His love. He demonstrated His love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So basically, God is saying, hey, I've demonstrated to the world the greatest act of love ever. And the Bible says because of our sin, we've all sinned, that we all deserve death. But Jesus says, hey, I want you to know how much I love you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to take the place of death for your sin. That's how much I love you. It's the greatest act of love in human history. That's His love. Paul goes on to describe it. In fact, it's even a prayer. I pray that as I read these words, go on, receive this right now. Receive this prayer from the Apostle Paul. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. We can't even comprehend His love. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Come on, receive that love today. Be filled with that love today. This love that goes beyond understanding and comprehension, that is greater than any love you could ever experience in your life. Well, this is the word of God. This isn't my opinion. This is God's opinion, which is truth. Psalm 63 says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. Well, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? That God's love, His unfailing love, is better than life? Well, if we're honest, oftentimes we struggle with that, right? Hey, your love's great and all, but I really want some of this too, God. But if I really believe this, then it's really going to penetrate my heart. It's going to change how I live, how I act, and how I even interact with people. God's unfailing love is better than life. Because it's the greatest thing you could ever experience in this life. So find your love from Him. Only God can give us the love that we're looking for. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to take some time and we're going to pray that we can receive this. Because again, this is, I think one of those things, like probably everything else, that it's not about knowing this, right? It's about experiencing this. I want you to experience God's love, not just know about it. I don't want you to just know about God. I want you to experience God. And I want all of us to experience the truth of His love will satisfy you. Maybe you're looking for satisfaction, fulfillment in your spouse. Well, look to God. Make God your one. Maybe you've been thinking falsely that if I just get into a relationship, then I'll be complete, I'll be fine. No, no, no. Get rid of all that and find your completeness, your satisfaction, and your identity right now in God. Make Him your one right now. Do that right now. So why don't you join me in prayer? Let's pray that God would help us with this. Lord, we just come to You and again, just recognize that we need You, God. Even as we sang earlier, Lord, we're nothing without You. We need You. We need Your help. We need Your strength. Holy Spirit, help us to live this thing out. I pray for my friends, Lord. I pray that they'd be empowered by Your Spirit to live in this place where their identity is fully and completely in You and You alone. Lord, they'd be satisfied in You, that You would fill them. Lord, they'd experience Your love. They would be complete and fulfilled in their relationship with You, no matter what season of life that they're in. Lord, I pray that for all of them. In fact, if that really is your prayer, come on, just reach your hands out to God right now. Just lift your hands up to Him right now. If you say, I want to find my complete love from God. I want Him to be first in my life. I don't want to look anywhere else. Come on, just lift your hands up to Him right now. This is just us just being honest and saying, God, I need to make You number one. God, I need to pursue You above everything else. I don't want any idol above You right now. God, You are the priority of my life. I'm placing You first. I'm seeking You first. That's why I'm lifting my hands up to You. God, I need You. I want You. Come on, just in Your own words, just begin to pray that. Maybe ask for forgiveness. Maybe repent. Maybe say, God, fill me. Whatever you need to pray in your own words. Just as you reach out to Him with your arms lifted up, just pray, seek, ask. You can put your hands down, and we're gonna, in just a few moments, we'll go into a time of prayer and just really go after Jesus. And man, I just encourage you just to really take advantage of these moments. But eyes closed right now. I love all of you have your eyes closed, because I got a question for those of you that maybe are ready to commit your life to Jesus. Today's a day for you to fully surrender. Maybe it's a rededication, coming back to Him, or maybe for the first time, you're ready, that you realize, I need to fully follow and trust God with my life. And so I'm going to count to three. Just slip your hand up, and you're just signifying, that's me, Tyrone. Today is my day, salvation. And as we do this, know that this is the most important decision in our life. Way more important than who or if you're going to date or who you marry is this. Are you going to live for God or not? The most important decision in your life, because this has eternal significance right here. So I'll count to three, and if that's you, slip your hand up. One, maybe you're coming back to God, rededicating your life. Two, maybe for the first time, you're going to trust in Him. Three, anybody here, let's say, that's me, Tyrone. Just lift your hand right now. Anybody here, say, Tyrone, I'm ready. Give my life to You. Thanks, buddy. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for that honesty. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. So why don't you go ahead and open your eyes, because I just want to just speak for a moment to give you some direction where we're going. I love this moment. I think this is such a significant moment, not just in our service, but in our life. We just have time just to be free to worship Jesus and to seek Him and go after Him. The team's going to lead us in a song again. We already sang it. So as we sing this song, I'm going to encourage you, as always, respond to Jesus how you need to respond. I really sense God's doing a deep work in some hearts right now, and it's a good thing. Maybe loneliness has consumed you. Allow that to draw you close to God. Maybe you haven't been putting God first. Maybe you've made an idol of dating or even your spouse. They're your God. Come on, confess to that, put God first. And we're just gonna worship Jesus. We're gonna put Him first in our life. So respond how you need to respond. We got communion tables open in the front, in the back by the cross. At any time during the song, go ahead on your own and just go to take the communion emblems and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me. We got prayer team. They'll be down here in the front. They would love to pray with you, whatever the need is. If you're praying to dedicate your life to Jesus or have any situation going on in your life, come on down. They'd love to pray with you. So let's take a few moments and let's look to Jesus and let's respond to him. All right? I'm going to pray, and then the team will lead us, and you can just go for it. You're free to worship and pray and see God. Jesus, right now we look to you. And I just invite your spirit to move in this place. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill us with joy. Lord, I pray that tremendous joy be released in this place because your presence is here, Lord. And so we know that your word promises there's fullness of joy because your presence is here right now. Holy Spirit, move, speak, convict, love. Lord, pour out your love on this place, I pray in Jesus' name. Well, I hope, married people, that you didn't check out too much during that message. I think it was beneficial for all of us. I think there's a lot that all of us could receive from that. And my hope, man, my deepest desire is that you and I would just find our satisfaction wholly and completely in God. Come on, if he really is God, then that's the only place we can find it, right? And it all comes down to, I guess, really, what are we pursuing in life? What are we after? And so next week, as we continue our God on Film series, we're going to use the film Avengers, Infinity War, but we're going to talk about a topic that I think is very important for all of us individually, but for, especially for us as a church. Because my hope is that we would be people who are passionate and hungry for God in our life more than anything else. So we're going to kind of build off of this week and go next week. Next week's going to be very important for the life and the culture of our church. I hope you make it here next week.
Thanks again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.